and welcome to episode 220 of the Awesome Comics Podcast. The place with a small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mass from Mars, and joining me this week, the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the Jackie Collins of comics. It's Tony Esmond.
All right, you deceiver.
I am the deceiver. What am
just
I?
Just before we come on, you went, I'm the deceiver. Like that, in a sort of sexy way. And it sort of stuck with me. I'll never forget that now.
But what was the story behind it? You'll just have to make it up.
I can't tell you. I can't say.
No, we can't say. And you'll just have to make it up yourself.
Yeah.
But yes. Hello, folks. It's just the three of us this week. After a fantastic past few weeks of guests.
Hang on. Jackie Collins.
Just landed.
Yeah. for some reason, I thought that slipped through. But Yeah, Tony's been travelling a lot recently, so that you'll understand why he's a bit slow off the mark, aren't you, Tony?
Yeah, I'm tired today, very tired.
Yeah, and we'll find out why in a second.
Yeah,
but yeah, after like a fantastic few weeks of guests and informative comic chatter, all centred around the comic making process, we thought we'd just spend a week just doing some good old fashioned comics chat with just the three of us, the three amigos. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Just sat round with a cup of Horlicks each, maybe a weak lemon drink. And just shoot the shit, really.
Take your trousers off.
Episode. No, Dan, why is that your go-to?
Every episode. I got a flask with me.
What, really?
I got a flask of coffee, yeah.
What? I bet, is it like a tartan flask, or is there any sort of branded?
It's one of those, are they called chilies or something? They're cool-looking ones.
Oh, you hipster.
I know.
Look at
him. Good flasks?
How old were you when you bought your first flask?
Oh, I don't know.
When you bought it for yourself? Because obviously, when you got packed lunch, I had a flask when I was a kid.
Due to my work, probably 19, I reckon, because I'd obviously working at night and stuff. Yeah, but they're good flasks because you can keep cold things cold in them and hot things hot. And I've got coffee and ice cream in mine.
In the same one?
Yeah.
I might be investing in a flask for Leamington.
Yeah, okay.
Leamington what? Oh, we'll get to that in a bit. But yes, welcome to Flask Talk. Or Flask Master, as we like to call it. We're going to be talking about comics this week and probably God knows what else. I mean, we've already talked about Jackie Collins and flasks, so who knows where this episode's going to go.
I bet she loves a flask. Is she alive still, Jackie Collins? I don't think she is she?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. She probably have a book called Flasks.
Which British would she write again?
She wrote...
Don't act like you don't know, Dan.
The Stud and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, all those, the riding ones.
Yeah. No, that's Jilly Cooper you're thinking
of. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my word.
Anyway, not very well versed in this subject, as we said. Let's move on.
Yes. Hopefully we know a bit more about comics. Yeah, we've got a couple of questions in from you lovely listeners. So thank you very much for that. And thank you for all your support over the past few weeks, past like month and a half of comic making process shows. If you've joined in to our show and have stuck along for the ride, this week isn't what it's normally like. But yeah, thank you for listening to the show, and we've had a lot of good feedback, and thank you to anyone who checks out any of this show. But we had real fun over the past 6 weeks doing this one, and we just wanted to shout out a big thank you to last week's guest Pete Jeanpaul and the lovely folks at Comic House for sponsoring us week on week. Yes. Because they are the indie comic marketplace with a difference. That is smooth, isn't it, eh? I'm just waiting for... They're almost too tired to put me off this week, which is putting me off. Yeah. But yes.
You sort of surprised me, that one. I was wondering where you were going with that. And I thought, oh, he's gone there. He got in under me wire.
Yeah. Pardon?
Yeah.
Yes, but Comic House are our sponsor. We talk about them week on week. If you go to comichouse.com, you see a huge selection of titles from indie creators from all over the world who host their book on there, and you can buy copies of it. If you self-publish, you can list your book on there for free, start selling straight away. But they also have an app, which we love and we check out. I'm going to be getting stuck into it this week, actually. I've got a few titles that I've noticed recently on there that I put on my to-read pile, the ever-growing to-read pile, which includes digital these days. It's basically like Netflix for comics. For only £3 a month, you get access to an enormous library of digital indie comics that's being updated all the time. So what stuff is there on at the moment, Dan?
It's the featured stuff.
The featured new additions this week include Megatomic, Battle Rabbit 4, Awesome Comics 4, Digitopia 1, Displaced Dreams, Andrew Saw's graphic novel, Hello to Jason Isaacs, and But I'm a Cat Person, Volume 5. Read these and hundreds more indie comics right now.
Yes. Loads of awesome stuff on there. And they're, seriously, folks, there's awesome books on there. And like I say, no matter where you are in the world, you want to get your book on there. Because the more people check it out, the more cheddar you get in your pockets.
I'm going to put my book on there.
You should.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Yes. And we'll talk about that in a second, once I've finished this link, because if you want to find out more about the app, etc., then go to comichouse.com. There's a free trial, 14-day free trial for the app, so there's absolutely no excuse not to check it out and start reading digital comics, especially if you're not a digital comics reader. I know we talked about it for a whole show last week.
Yeah, you should have been listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a ton of artwork on there. I mean, we've got the awesome comic on its own.
Yeah.
You got Red Mask on there. I've got Vanguard. What else you got there, Tony?
I'm in Sliced.
Yep.
What else I'm in there? It's kind of, I can't think what else I'm in. I'm in Little Heroes. And I do a couple of forwards for a couple of books on there as well, I think.
I was going to say, because you didn't kickstart your book, you can put your book on there with no kind of recourse or deal or anything.
Owing to anyone, holding to anyone. Yeah, so it's quite good. Yeah, that's what I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking, give it a week because the book's on sale, so it's 50p cheaper at the moment. And I thought, I'll leave it a week or so, and then I'll put it on Comic House, yeah.
So, for those who don't know, maybe you're a first-time listener. No. Welcome. but for those who don't know, Tony's just released a fantastic anthology at the moment. So what book are we talking about, Tony? Because I know we talked about it a little bit last week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, we did. I don't know, I overplayed, but it's the Hawk Chronicles. Vincenzo was designer, stroke editor, stroke pin-up artist as well. So it's a little group one that we've done, and it's true stories told by the prostitutes to a film crew in the most part. So it's like a sort of faked interview idea, and it's all true stories. And we've got Tom Curry, Rachel Ball, Sarah Harris, Charles Raymond, Rick Jackson, Stuart Mulrane, yourself. A couple of pro stories. It's had some quite good responses this week.
Yeah, it's such a unique idea. I remember when you talked to me about it, I thought, that's so unusual and so nothing else like it. And also because of the nature of the subject, shall we say?
Yeah.
Whenever anyone's been talking about it, like online, and it's been great to see, glowing word of mouth, etc. So thank you very much to everyone who said anything about it.
Good. I've had some sort of constructive reviews, a couple of criticisms. Yeah. I take everything on the chin.
It's always good, isn't it?
Or there was a couple of spell checks needed changing and stuff like that. But
yeah, there's always a couple of things now and then, isn't it? But then again, we learn from every single issue that we put out.
Yeah.
Some of these things you could maybe fix for, immediately for a digital.
Yeah, you can do, can't you? Yeah.
So, if there's anything you want to talk to me about after the show, Tony, just let me know.
I just find, I just kind of like the instinctual stuff as well. I've always liked the sort of rougher, sort of undergroundy, not necessarily underground, but sort of more sort of shooting from the hip kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't like stuff that's too clean and...
Yeah.
When
you asked me to sort of help you put the book together, there was a definite, there's a reason why it's got this simpler sort of look. There's no shaving off the rough edges. Do you know what I mean?
And it speaks for itself. And there's a couple of versions of it because I did some the stuff to camera was originally stories that I'd written. So there's one prostitute. Who talks about a client of hers who comes around and likes to get dressed as a baby, So I do actually have a script to that I've written of a man coming around her house and her meeting him and him dressing as a baby, that sort of thing. And because it's a story that I'd been told by someone, and I thought, no, I'd rather just, because I found it hilarious when the lady told me it, and I thought, no, I just want her to, I just want to repeat the experience I had of her telling me it, which is why it's been told like that. I think that sort of reportage, sort of documentary kind of thing, I think, is where I wanted to go with it. And be sort of really honestly, I'm just tired of people, everything being clean cut and people kicking off about stuff and not having a sense of humour about stuff. And, You can. Yeah. We're talking before we came on, Dan. You can. If it's done in the right way, you can joke about anything.
Yeah.
You know, if it's done in the right way, and there's humour in it, and there's sort of, there's some darkness. There's some real darkness in it. You know, but that's life for you, man. You know.
Yeah, a bit of a libertarian, and I think you should be able to tell jokes about anything you want. I mean,
yeah.
Be sensitive. I'm not saying be an absolute fucking arsehole, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We seem to forget the right to free speech occasionally, don't we? For sometimes what people think is the right reason, but you know, it's not for everyone. I understand that completely, and I don't wish ever to make comics for everyone, and I never will, and I don't think you should. But everyone is doing. Pat Mills, who we'll talk about in a minute, read it and gave us a lovely review, and I showed it to one of our designers at work, and the first thing he said, V, was, "Oh, I like that cover."
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
So it is striking that we done it. Sort of Vince came up with the idea of doing like a videotape cover, and because it's a film crew interviewing these ladies, you know, and I think it really works. We just got to think. Well, we're having a little chat the other day. But we've got to think about what we're going to do for the second issue now.
Because there will be more. I mean, one of the things I like a little bit of projects as well. I mean, I know I did like a pin-up for it, and I was essentially putting it together. So, but I was seeing all the artwork come in and stuff. And that was just a joy to see, like, especially like a couple of artists that no one has really seen anything from yet.
And this
is the first time out of the gate, and you know, long may it continue.
People have different favourites. Stuart McCune rang me, and he just out of the blue, I get a phone call on WhatsApp, and it's Stu from Italy, and he's saying, "Fucking," he said, "I really like Tom Curry stuff." Yeah, and I think everyone pulled it out of the bag for it, you know.
Yeah,
it's interesting because I didn't see a lot of the project till it all came together. I saw bits and bobs, and it was an absolute treat when it turned up. I really enjoyed the Sarah Harris story.
Yeah, Sarah is amazing on that, and she gets a really big mention in the 11 o'clock comics review of it this week, which is really nice.
And I still have those original pages to give back to you, by the way, Tony.
We'll give back to Sarah. She'll have them. Yeah. But the I'm seeing Sarah in New York actually, hopefully in a couple of weeks. Yeah, she's going out there. I think it's being Sarah, she's doing like hockey games and all sorts of things she was telling me about. So I don't know if I will get to see her. It'd be weird, isn't it? We're in the same city, you know, probably in the same convention hall. I might not even see her, but hopefully. Yeah. And I'm meeting Mr. Cumber while I'm out there. Or Mr. Q Cumber, as he's now very happy to be called. Yeah.
Mr. Q.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I wish reviews equated to sales, my friends.
Yeah.
I've had more reviews than I've had sales. I'll tell you that now.
Yeah, this is, I mean, and that's certainly a...
That's the world of comics, I'm
afraid. It's another topic of conversation as well, because like sometimes, and this goes across the board, our work, other people's work, whoever it is, sometimes you look at things online, and because of the nature of social media, you think the wave is bigger than it is.
Comics seemed to think that it was on Comixology and it had been put out by a publisher, which is very flattering of them, you know. From just something that you and me made in our front room, and we had like a couple hundred printed. You know, it's like
checked out a couple of patron pages, and they were getting like 4 to 6 grand a month doing webcomics.
Right.
And I was like, how the fuck do you generate this amount of money? I just
it's mad.
It almost seems alien beyond me. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone who bought a copy though of my comic. Just to put that in there, because well, it really is appreciated.
Like I said,
it's also going to be available. Yeah. What shows is it going to be available at, T?
That's the hard one, man. Because in the next few, whilst you and I and Dan are at these events, I'm tabling for Nobrow on the whole. Mm. And I think it
so
really needs.
You'll
to
have
me...
to leave me in charge of the purse.
Well, can you get it to us for Leamington?
Well, I'm just thinking. Do I want you to be You know, do you want
to? You were about to say tarred with that brush.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can understand where you're coming from because as much as me and Dan love it, we can't probably sell it or talk about it in the way that you can.
Well, I was thinking I don't want people looking at you weird. Well, I don't.
I'm used to that. The comic convention.
Hang about me.
We could keep it under the table with special stuff. And people
right, I've got to order some brown paper bags. I need that, don't I?
The special stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We could. I tell you what, dude. I tell you what. We should totally make that a thing for Thought Bubble, because I know you're not going to be at the ACP table. So why don't we here and now say, if you're going to be at Thought Bubble and you want a copy of this, if you come up to us, come up to the table and ask for special stuff, there'll be a brown paper bag with a copy of Tony's comic. Maybe we'll chuck some goodies in there as well. And that's the way you can sell it. Well, it's going to be proper old-fashioned under the table kind of selling. See if we can get a bit of a thing going.
Because last year, do you remember at Thought Bubble, they had to come to the table and say, Riptide or Bully Under? Because I'd never met Phil McFarlane before, and he comes over and he's just staring at me. And I'm thinking, hello, mate, all right. And I'm standing at the no-brow table, and he went, Riptide or Bully Under? And I went, Phil!
I remember the first time I was at a Thought Bubble, I just put a shout out that if anyone came up to my table and looked at me like Donald Sutherland does at the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, I'd give him a free poster. And that's how I first met Nick Gonzo, which was brilliant.
I can see him. I can see him making that face in my head.
Yeah.
That is actually his sex face, so just be careful of that.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh.
That explains why you've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think they'll be at Leamington. Sorry, folks. I just would feel bad if you got stopped by the police in your car on the way home and they go, what the fuck is this? You know what I mean? we'll be at Thought Bubble. I'll probably have a few at Nottingham as well, to be fair. Yeah.
And where can people get it?
And everyoneanything.bigcartel.com. You can £1.50 for a digital, and it's still at £3.50 for a physical.
It's a bargain.
Yeah.
You should really get the physical.
I like a good physical.
Yeah. Pitching in there.
Yeah,
it's a really well put together product, I think.
That's down to the V-man there.
I think that's my bias towards printed media.
Yeah.
Well, it's all printed, actually. They're almost all gone.
Nice. Sold out the first run.
There you go.
So,
that tactic. Me.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't. Let's not. Don't even. But I tell you what we are going to talk about, and that's Tony on the magical choo-choo train of comics.
Yeah, so it's part of the world tour.
Yeah, world tour, is it?
Riptide's world tour. That's it's famous now. So.
All right. How many? What are the previous dates in the world tour?
I'm like the new age Wicker, Alan Wicker.
Oh, I thought you meant like Wicker Man. That would make more sense.
There's a bit of that up there, man. I'll tell you now.
How they get burned? Bees! Oh, wrong Wicker Man, sorry.
Yeah, I've never seen that other one.
I
did Rome, didn't I? And I did Berlin, and I did LA. There's a few on the world tour. Edinburgh, Glasgow. Not as exciting, obviously, but still nice. So Dundee was on the Riptide World Tour this week. And I went to meet up with Tom and Dave Robertson from That Comic Smell. And had a cracking time with them, yeah. Good guys. We had a fucking chuckle, I've got to tell you. It was funny. And I met Colin Noble, if you know Colin Noble from the Facebook page. He's a big sort of Commando comics fan.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a swap meet coming up at Watford this weekend. I think he's in charge of or something. But mostly I went up there for... I had some family business up there, but I also went up for Pat and Lisa. Pat and Lisa Mills were there, and Pat did a talk at the V&A in Dundee, which is quite the building. Everyone Google it. It's like an amazing looking building, and he did a talk on First World War. There's a battle called the Battle of Loos, which is where a lot of Scottish soldiers were lost, and he's done a short comic for a sort of freebie comic that the university up there are giving out, and it's he's done a really lovely job of it, I have to say. And I went to a talk for him, and then we basically just went to a lot of pubs and restaurants after that. That's kind of the plan. But I'll tell you, the people in Dundee can drink. I'll tell you that now.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. But
yeah.
You did tell me a story beforehand, and I was like, okay.
I'm going to tell that now anyway. But when you go in a pub in London, it's all people the same age, and you know everyone's
interested.
Or you know they've all got Hoxton samurai haircuts, whatever it is they call them. You know, plaid shirts. But in Scotland, because the people are generally less pretentious, it was just sort of families out on the piss. And I did watch one lady, an elder lady, and I'm not young, older than me, crawling on her hands and knees up the staircase to leave.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, That's Dundee for you. But it was good. It was nice, actually, I have to say. Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, it was Pride as well, actually. So it was really busy.
Yeah.
Dundee Pride.
Nice.
So it was, yeah, it was a pretty busy event. So I drove, I think I did like 920 miles this weekend, and I've just got back. So yeah,
you haven't been back jaded. Long and too long, have you? So
no,
I'm not supposed to be bloody knackered. Driving kills me. It really does
do you in.
Yeah.
It was, and I got about 10 miles from home and just sat in a traffic jam for half an hour, which did makes you want to weep. But Pat gifted me a copy of the new second volume of Charlie's War, which I actually prefer to the sort of Titan hardcover ones they did.
Okay.
But they're really nice. Yeah, really lovely. Yeah,
I've seen Pat making some proclamations on Twitter today about how he's kind of disillusioned with the way war stories are told.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, and it's the right thing to be. He's very anti-war, as we all should be.
Yeah.
You know? And he talks quite a bit about that, and he did a sort of Q&A afterwards, and he talked about, you know, what he tried to do with Charlie's War and the story of the war and what he's doing with this new book, and it was a fairly packed room, and then he opened up for questions, and he got some very sort of studious intellectual people who were, one guy was a revisionist, and this guy said, look, this battalion was made up of this nationality and two of this nationality, and these guys knew their stuff, you know. You're thinking, what? Yeah, these people have made a lifetime out of study in the First World, the Great War, you know.
Yeah.
And Pat just bucking on the front foot, very friendly, very conversational. There was no bad blood in the room at all. It discussed in detail, and I thought, fucking hell, Pat knows his stuff there.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, really interesting.
Well, I mean, I think what's great is when comics are a discussion. I mean, like, that, you know, no one has to agree on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you've done a book, and certainly with, you know, historical pieces, the things may be off in the work you've done or whatever. And if someone comes to you sensibly to discuss it, you know, there's nothing better than a good. You don't want to see someone trying to have a go at someone and the other person shoot them down. I mean, that there's a little bit of fun when you see one of your mates.
Yeah.
But it's much better to see like a nice discussion happen about it.
Yeah, that was the place for it. And it wasn't Twitter. Let's just say
it's
that. Yeah.
A weird one as well, because like the kind of first, Second World War was kind of glorified. You got the Commando comics, which kind of...
Yeah.
And the Battle comics kind of like portraying it like one way, you know, sausage eating fiends and good old Tommy blasting them up.
Yeah.
But then like when he kind of got the look back and sort of say, actually it's fucking horrible. Today we got you can go on like Live Leak and see people's fucking heads getting chopped off in Afghanistan. And it's like it's such a different kind of world.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But
yeah.
I don't know why I was taking that, but
it was nice. So I hung about with Pat and Lisa and I hung about with Tom and Dave, and it was just, you know, it was just a week in a great company. Do you know what I mean? It was really, really nice. And do you know what? It's a shame there's no more comic shops in Dundee, but Dundee has got a Desperate Dan statue and a Minnie the Mink statue. And, you know, it's the home of British comics.
It's a real shame, man.
Yeah. Real shame. And there's a lot of passion for comics in that town, you know.
Fucking kills me whenever I hear another shop closing.
Yeah.
And I've heard a couple more stories of that over the weekend.
Yeah, that one in Chelmsford's gone now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So God bless you all who are putting out, you know, selling comics. If you're an indie comic shop and stuff,
it's a tough fucking time. And on another side, congratulations to, and I know this guy through Pat, that's how we know him, is congratulations to John Ottaway, who's become a granddad.
Hey, nice.
Yay.
One.
Yeah.
Hey.
Congratulations, John.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
While we're doing the family sort of shout out, so I was going to give a shout out to Gareth and Sarah, who got married. Gareth Slighthome.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Mate.
Yeah. Huge
brilliant.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So congratulations.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
See,
Gareth was our guest on the, what show was it? The Art Show.
Yeah. Love Gareth.
I tried to talk him out of it, but you know.
What, coming on the show? Yeah, don't blame him.
Yeah.
Yes. So for all the dark news that you hear, there's always rays of light.
Yes.
And that's what this show's all about as well, positivity. And talking about comics, we've got a few questions and stuff. So So we thought, you know, we were just going to talk nonsense, but we're
still will.
We're just fueled by caffeine and sugar at the moment. So, but we just put a minor shout out, and we got loads of brilliant questions.
Yeah, we're not going to get to them all, I don't
no,
think.
No, we never can. Yeah. But we picked like one each, didn't we?
Yeah.
I cheekily picked two because one of them's like a minor sort of add-on.
Yeah. So we're all going to have a go at these, aren't we?
But what I love about these questions as well, they're topics for discussion as well. So, yeah. You know, and as we say with all of these shows, these are our opinions. We're not hard and fast. Yeah. This is the way you do things, you know. And if you want to put your side of the opinion across, there's loads of different ways to do it, like on the Facebook group and like on Twitter and stuff like that. So, yeah, who knows? You might agree with us. You might think we're absolute losers.
likely. Yeah. But like the conversation does continue on usually the week after the show comes out.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss some of the questions we couldn't get round to or what we said on the show.
And one thing I will say, and that's always great to see, that it is a conversation that goes on. So, and we love the people that listen to this show for that, because, and there's genuine backwards and forwards. Like if someone's got a fact, you know, someone, it's discussion. It's not argument, it's discussion. So yeah, we love you all. And we're just going to talk about
this
some of your
this
questions.
This isn't an argument, it's just contradiction. No, it isn't. Yeah. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
But we do have some interesting questions there. Who wants to go first?
Oh, so I've got mine ready to go, so I'll
go
do mine.
Go for it.
Okay, so this comes from Ian and Nicole at the Lakes podcast.
Ah, yes.
They've said, you've been given 10 grand to start up your dream comic event. Name three guests you would dream of having and three dream panels. And then finally, what would you do different to the current cons in the UK? Right, so I'm going to start at the bottom. So what would you do differently from current cons? I would ban all Funkos and cosplayers. This is my convention, so I can do what I like. I'd like to add that to it. Yeah. So, three guests. So I'll do my three guests and you can do your one, guys. Yeah. How's that?
Go on.
Yeah. God. Okay. So my guests are, bear in mind, I've got this money. It's going to be John Byrne, Frank Miller, and controversially, Jim Shooter.
Hang on, you've only got 10 grand.
I know, but they we'd have it in my garden, so I wouldn't need a venue or anything.
Yeah.
Are you spending the money to fly them over and have lunch with you in your back garden?
Yeah, it's been a convention just for me with no cosplayers. So I would, one of the panels I would do two panels, which would be art, one with John Byrne and one with Frank Miller, and I'd get them to draw things during the panel, which I would then steal.
Yeah.
Because I'm the original art by those two guys, and then
pays for the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can. I can say I'm giving it to charity, but not just put it on eBay. And then the other one I would do is Jim Shooter. I'd get all three of them in the room. I'd give them all boxing gloves, and I'd get Jim Shooter to start talking about things like, why don't we cancel the whole of Marvel and just do the new universe? And then I'd let Frank Miller to punch him, and that would be my panel.
That'd work. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm quite into that now. If you are a millionaire and you want to give me some money to run a convention, I'll do that for you. I will.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I would go to that con.
Yeah, I would. Just to see that. Bloody hell.
John Byrne's going to be in New York.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
You're going to make time to go and see him.
Yeah. I think I need about a day to queue up from the sound things, but
And, just temper your expectations.
No, no. Someone did say to me the other day, he looks like an older version of me, but not as sad.
What a thing to say.
I know.
I presume if it was face-to-face, you would have chinned them immediately.
Yeah. People think they can say anything on social media these days.
So we want to see a selfie of you with John Byrne saying, Dad?
Or do that thing where you swap the photos over and the names. So you have John Byrne with your name and vice versa.
Yeah.
So get him to wear a badge with my name on it.
Yeah. Right, so what was this question again?
So, I've lost it now. Hang on, let me get it again.
It was the con of your choice.
You get 10 grand for a con, and you get to have three guests, three panels, and what would you do differently?
Oh, God.
Like you, the kind of guest-wise, it'd blow the budget immediately.
Yeah.
I'd definitely have Kirkman, Rob Kirkman.
Oh, that's... nice.
I'd like someone else who's kind of like the story and artist and storyteller. I might just fucking have Rob Liefeld for a laugh.
Rob Liefeld and that bloke he keeps arguing with online.
Yeah.
Put him on, get him to do a feet workshop.
Do like a this is your life moment, and that geezer comes out through the door, and Rob Liefeld's sitting there. I would like to do like a panel where they make a comic up, and it's drawn on the spot. Like Kirkman, like
with Extreme Studios, yeah.
Yeah, basically how they made their comics in the 90s. Just make it up page by page. I don't know what I'd do to kind of make different. I'm not too fussed about the cosplayers. I would actually like put a bit of funds into like making little proper sets for them so they could pose and have their photos, and they pay for the privilege, and like you stay in that area. That's kind of good for you.
Yeah.
Give them like a playroom kind of thing.
Like a dangerous room full of like swinging blades.
AKA the labs. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what I'd go for.
Conventions. I'd start off with a thing that I do differently, I guess. And this isn't a fire at anyone, but if there was like a little small press or comic, I mean the whole thing would be essentially a comics village.
Yeah.
But it would be signposted to fuck, telling people, you know, telling what? People this is where
That'd
it is. This is where it is. You know, there'd be holograms, there'd be fireworks going off. Yeah. You know, there'd be everything pointing like, here's where you go for your comics. You probably have to walk through comics to get to other bits. You know,
yeah.
You'd have to, wherever you go in my convention, you'd have to travel through comics to get to anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, or you have to buy comics to do things. So if you want to get an autograph with some bloke who's watching Buffy or something, you have to buy a load of comics to do it.
Then I'm not having guests like that at my show. It's just comics.
I bet you do.
Yeah,
but you have six.
in terms of like the guests, I'd have there's too many. It's a difficult question, isn't it? Because there's almost too many
really
to mention.
Tricky.
But three that I thought of: Arthur Adams.
Great.
I mean, if you don't look at Arthur Adams on Instagram, something is flipping wrong with you, because
he's fucking unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. He is an absolute legend in my eyes.
Frank
Cho. Frank Cho's a legend as well.
Yeah, he's good.
And my third one, I don't know if it's Karen Berger. Is that her name?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
She's been over to a couple of things in the UK, and I've heard her talk a couple of times. But I mean, she knows her stuff, doesn't she? She basically ran DC pretty much, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just another side of comics.
Sorry. Yeah.
And what else was there? I'd have a ball pit.
A what?
Once again, I would like it to be free as well.
I know
that's not doable for most cons.
No.
I completely understand that. But since we're talking fantasy cons, mine would be sort of free.
Yeah,
mine would be free. Yeah.
Yeah, and if it was a fantasy con, everyone that turns up on the day gets a goodie bag full of comics and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, I'd have a goodie bag, but I'd also have black light checks as people came in. Don't want any weirdos in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Obviously, we go through first before that.
We don't have to be checked. That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, we can be found from space. One knows.
Yeah. Jesus. that was an interesting. That's an interesting question, though, because I don't. You know, and we're just.
Where
doing...
would you have it? You can have it anywhere in the country. Where do you have it?
Oh, that's a really difficult question. I think. I don't know. I'm selfish, so I just want it in my neck of the woods. I'm just gonna say my neck of the woods. Doesn't really matter.
Is there like a nice place you could have it where you are, like a swanky hotel or a, you know, an old hall, or, you know,
I've got enough room in my penthouse. Everyone could just hang out there. You know, there's fireworks at the end of the night. Do you know what I mean?
There always is, my friend.
Yeah.
As long as you don't upset my tiger, that's
I would like to have mine at the Crystal Palace Sports Arena.
Oh, where Glaziers is.
Yeah. And then people can go on the field if it's a sunny day. And
yeah. I scored in the goal at Crystal Palace once.
Nice.
I didn't even have a ball.
There you go.
Well, There you go.
There you go.
That's.
I tell you what. I take my hat off to everyone who does run a con.
Yeah.
It's very tricky.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're never going to please everyone.
No. No. But you know. I mean. Yeah, because you can't please everyone. You can please the people that you, at the end of the day, the convention organizer can only do so much. And when the day kicks off, it's all about the general public having a good day.
But this is only to please us, this one, isn't it? Which I kind of like. Yeah. I like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, which essentially, it's just come dine with me. But we're just getting comic guests.
So. I might do the most middle class you've ever been.
Do a Bruce Lee, because he used to stand outside his class and tell the other students, oh, the Sifu's sick. There's no class today.
Oh,
and then
he'd
go upstairs, and the Sifu was like, where the fuck's everyone else? I'm like, I don't know. Just like, this is me and you.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So is that the first one?
Yeah.
Right. Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Go
I've got one from Gary on the from Comics Anonymous. It says, do you think the indie scene should lean towards one-shot stroke collected graphic novels rather than individual issues or a long-running series as a way to increase its impact?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, as someone who does a long-running series, it's hard for me to get people into reading issue 17 as opposed to getting someone in to read issue 1, because you know what it's like with mainstream comics at the moment, even trying to get people in after fucking 2 and 3.
Yeah,
it's like an uphill struggle where everyone's jumping on 1. So I think making standalones and one shots, especially for us when you don't know if the creator is going to be back to make another comic, a one shot, one and done, everything you need is in there, the story's complete.
Having the collection is so important as well, isn't it?
For
a lot of creators, especially when you have like shows like MCMs and like Thought Bubbles and stuff, when people are just they love to have something substantial to read. After the show,
they might fucking never see you again. So
yeah,
you got that one hit.
And even though like you can say to people, well, you can buy the next issues on the website and stuff. Let's be honest, how many people?
Doubt many
are going to do it. I mean, we were talking earlier about like how successful is the social media shout out. And as someone that's been doing like a single issues and stuff, I'm just going to do sort of one shots and stuff like that moving forward.
It's a lot less pressure, I think, as well. Sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, I will 1,000% agree on that. Especially with things I've been contemplating recently. So
do we dare go there or
not yet?
Okay, fine. Okay.
We'll wait until the end of the year. Yes, there are people who love coming back to you. There's nothing better than people who have bought the first issue and then come back for issue 2 and issue 3 and so on. That's amazing. That is an unbelievable feeling when you get a follower to your comic.
Yeah,
Just in any way, shape, or form, that's just brilliant. But I think
there must be a clever way of doing it that not a few people have done this, where you can do an ongoing title, but each volume can stand on its own. I suppose like Tintin or something like that. You know, that's a good example, isn't it? You don't have to pick up the first Tintin to know what's going on.
No,
or Asterix or something like that. You know,
I always fucking say this. I must fucking get this tattoo. But the Ryan K. Lindsay one.
Like that was exactly what I was going to say, dude.
Yeah, that's just one bit of advice. It's always stuck with me. And like, he does like, it's a continuing story, but it's like a case file. And it'll have like the subheader of the story. It's never issue 2, but these can be read chronologically. Maybe like, you know, like the Scandinavian horror, like crime books.
Yeah.
You can jump in and each one's a case on its own. You don't need to read the one before or after, but you can get the story.
And well, certainly, I'm a big fan of 70s pulp books.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at stuff like Mac Bolan or The Destroyer or something, there's hundreds of those books, but you don't need to start one.
No, you just jump in and you get it.
And do you know what? Generally, I think people obsess too much about jumping in at one. There's something to be said. You know, what have there been? 1,000+ action comics.
Yeah.
You don't have to go back to one to start reading.
Just get involved. Know?
Sometimes jumping in, it can be a little bit of detective work, figuring out who's who, but I kind of like that, you know. I kind of like, you know, if you jump in
all out... It all depends, doesn't it? I mean... You know, you jump into the X-Men at the wrong point, and good luck, you're going to drown.
There is a little bit, well, currently, I'd say, and then even, but there's a few times, like I jumped in, you know, in and out of the X-Men when it was arriving in the newsagents, and, you know, thinking, oh, why has Magneto got the X-Men trapped this time? And you think,
yeah,
that's cool, you know, and there was no way of buying back issues then. No. There was no such thing as trades. Yeah. And, you know, I think, like, people come to the table. I mean, we had a worry, didn't we, about Awesome Comics Anthology 1. We got more printed, didn't we? Because we knew that that would be the one that would sell the most, probably. You know, it kind of did, I suppose, didn't it, really?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just enjoy the comics, man. Just read them, enjoy them. And there's a lot to be said. And if you like it, go back and find out what happened just before that, you know.
Yeah.
Loads of ways of doing it these days.
The Reckless Boys are doing the, is it Pirates versus Knights? I don't think that's
I saw the original artwork. I saw the original artwork from that the other day. Lovely.
I think Chris really has said he's drawn and inked half of it now. So, and that's going to be like a trade released.
Yeah.
One and done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, original trades and stuff. Are brilliant, amazing. I mean, I love picking these things up at shows. That's probably what I veer more towards now, like collections.
Yeah, trades
and, like that.
And collections. Yeah.
But the other, when you're a creative, the other side of that is, if you want to do an original graphic novel, it's going to be a lot more time before you've got anything on your table.
But it depends on the story, doesn't it? All the time.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Is there some things deserve just to be the one story told and done?
Yeah.
Some things deserve to be a long running thing. You know.
Yeah,
you've got other people who the model, like with John Tucker stuff.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, he's doing these one and done the comic stuff. The dark comedy. It's great. It absolutely works. It's
But there is a few people out there who keep the long running thing going. I'm thinking of like Milmo or Tom Ward.
Yeah,
you know, there's a few people who
the
keep
the Lou Scannon boys.
Yeah. And I kind of admire that. That's the case with these guys, but. Mm. You know, occasionally they must think, oh, I fancy doing something else for a change. You know, there's got to be a bit of that, isn't there?
Yeah.
And with the slow amount that, you know, how often do you find a small, other than us, obviously, because we're cool, but how often do you find a small press book that comes out more than twice a year? It's rare, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and finding the time to do that comic as well as do something else, it must be difficult, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. Especially since essentially it's a hobby. Like, you're not doing this fucking full time. So.
You're not doing it for money.
And a lot of these collections you're seeing at a lot of conventions are a lot of web comics, where they may be done by individual issues, but whenever they're at a convention, it's a collection that they've got.
I mean, maybe that's where Gary's going with this, and that might be the way that the small press will evolve, is everything's a web comic and then becomes a collection. Everything's a digital, not necessarily a web comic, but a digital comic, and then it becomes a print collection, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a bad little model. I know... a few Dark Horse books have gone, had the first issue out in print and then gone straight to digital and then brought a trade out.
Okay, interesting.
There's a bit of that happening now,
yeah.
I'm not massively mad on the read it for free thing of digital, but at the moment we've got the thing where people want the print as well. So
yeah.
I think we've mentioned this in previous shows, and I don't know how that's going to go in the future. Will people just think digital's the way to go? We don't want any kind of... We don't want... printed paper copies of the book. I can't see that being the case, but
well, with the cost element of it, I can see it going that way.
There's
also think of the price for a trade is so much cheaper, or should be so much cheaper than buying, you know, the six issues, certainly at the moment. You know, certainly if you wait a couple of months.
There's the other problem with the digital stuff is fucking piracy, which is
which we've still not sorted out, have you?
No.
It was about a year ago we were looking at some piracy sites, weren't we, just for facts and figures? And the download numbers on some of those sites. I think
it's unbelievable.
Jim Zub's been quite open about it, isn't he? He's posted quite a few of the pages saying, but this has had 10,000 downloads.
Yeah.
It doesn't sell a quarter of that in physical copies. No. Yeah. It is bad at the moment. But people don't see anything wrong with it. They just do it. There's no... They literally don't feel it's wrong in any way. Same as they'll quite happily watch a new movie that's out of the cinema by watching it on the computer. You know, this. I think people make it right in their heads by thinking, oh, they must be making loads of money. Won't matter, will it?
Only speaking about the comics here, they don't. I mean, you're fucking killing it.
Yeah.
They won't be there. Like, those titles are not there because.
Yeah.
If they're being read and ain't being paid for it, you're kind of.
It's like movies and music, isn't it? Like, you know, the piracy thing is. What kills a lot of, you know, these independent.
Yeah, I like the fact that Bono once said, home taping isn't killing music, bad music is killing music. And then he continued to make albums.
Yeah. It's hard to take his fucking word serious about anything he ever says.
It's just ridiculous.
He's a silly twat. Hat. He's the one who had that fucking hat flown around the world on a private charter.
That's the sort of thing we'd do, though, isn't it?
Yeah, if I had the money.
If I had the money.
Yeah.
Think of the environment, though.
Like a flat cap that's gone around the world.
I've been paying that fucking Euro Millions trying to get that money.
Yeah. I'm going to do that thing where those annoying minor celebrities come knocking on your door. Is it the postcode lottery? I hate those adverts.
Knocking on your door.
Oh, God, please die.
Remember they used to do that doorstep challenge with shit? They don't do that anymore.
Stalkers.
Yeah. Try this log, this lavatory paper.
You're right.
There's a fucking joke, was it? Like, if you want to give yourself a free prostate exam, try wiping your ass with Lidl's toilet paper.
Like I said at the start of the show, it's not normally like this.
No, I ran off the rails there. So, question three.
Late, so I've been in that one of those moods.
Oh, dear. Anyway, there's a couple of questions here, really. One main one and then a follow-up one from two people.
Okay.
So, first one is from Sam Webster. I think it was it on the Facebook? I think it was on the
Facebook one. Because is that the one he put a link in? That
he
one?
Put a link in, which we'll put in the show notes. But the question was, this article claims manga is now outselling comics. It doesn't provide any numbers, but my gut feeling is it's probably true. What do you think of this? Do you think manga's managed to gain a broader audience than comics have?
Oh, I don't know.
Believe...
He's not putting any numbers. How is it an authentic article? I have to say, I haven't read the article. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? But I would say...
They do silly numbers generally, but it's a different culture, isn't it? That read them. It's kind of like European culture.
But also in the West... It's bigger than ever. I can quite honestly believe that. There are a lot of these things, especially with now you're seeing, well, I've noticed it certainly on streaming sites like Netflix and stuff. There's so many more of these anime shows and stuff that are front and center. And they look pretty badass, actually. But I bet you probably 98% of the time that was a manga that's been going for like 100 volumes. And then people, it's a phenomenon. And it's been, a phenomenon.
I often wonder where they're buying their manga, though. Are they buying, does that include streaming? Does that include showing? Is it Shonen Jump? Does that include that?
It probably doesn't include that because that's massive, isn't it, Shonen Jump? Yeah. I know we talked about
it. But I'm just thinking if that study, because it is specific to the UK, that study, isn't it? Is that right? Is that right in what it says?
I didn't see that study.
Yeah. Oh, no. Is that what the question says? I can't remember.
You get those little manga books like in Waterstones. They're like a fiver, and it's fucking great big wodge of comic.
Yeah,
in there.
It's just that the shelf in Orbital has got smaller, and it's still the same books. No one's buying them, so I was just wondering
you walk into like a bookstore, like a Waterstones and stuff, and there's normally a decent section for it. And whenever I've like seen people like browsing through graphic novels and stuff. You know, here I am. Look, you see the Marvel ones, and then I see what gems I can find in the independent books one. But normally, no one's around me. But there's always people by that, like the Tokyo Pop and things like that.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think
I go back to being an old boring bastard, but I can't. My eye has worked going one way for long enough. I can't. When they started, a lot of companies translated the panel layouts to Western style, and I devoured. You like loads of manga, you know. Mm. I read, is it Eagle, the one with the first Japanese American president? And there's like 30 volumes of that. I read that. Sanctuary, I read. Wounded Man, Crying Freeman, you know, this sort of thing. I read loads of them. I've got two shelves of them here. But since they've gone back to the traditional, original formatting, I can't do it.
There's a whole audience, a massive audience that just reads that and nothing else, you know.
Yeah, there is.
I can remember being on a forum, someone as a Western artist wanted to do manga, and they were saying about like they was going to do it in the same way, and everyone just jumped and went, "Don't fucking do that."
Yeah, they work hard, don't they?
Well, they wanted to read back to front, from right to left, spread to left to right. And so, if you're only doing that, I don't know why you're fucking doing that. just do it left to right. You're a Western creator,
And the influence of that style has never been bigger. I think in the Western sort of like comics world and stuff.
We're seeing. I mean, there's a Master of Kung Fu comic out. Is it called Swordmaster from Marvel at the moment?
Mm.
And he's like the second character in it, and that's just straight done in a manga style.
There's
no two ways about it.
It used to be really clumsy, the stuff, and the Western artists trying to do manga, but now kind of a lot of them are up to par.
It's really stepped up and polished, isn't it? It's so impressive, and like there's lots of these things. I mean, Dan gifted me Berserk. Was it Berserk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's a fantastic series. And there's so much good stuff out there. If you only read your mangas and your Tokyo Pops, just keep reading it. It doesn't matter as long as you're reading, because they are comics. They may go under the term manga, but in my eyes, they're comics. It's all comics. And certainly, following on from that question, Andy Turner, another friend of the show, as is Sam, said a follow-up question to this. In the broader scheme of things, should we necessarily separate manga and comics? Shouldn't we all be on the same team?
Yeah, there's a blurring of lines now, isn't
there?
I think, definitely. Yeah.
He says also at a high level, there's more similarities than differences. Totally. I think one of the major differences, and this is the same with European comics and stuff, much like bande dessinée, is very much in the same thing as manga, I would say. In their respective cultures and countries and stuff, they're taken a hell of a lot more seriously.
A lot more respected than
we've got here in the UK, or what the guys in the US have and stuff. Because on the broader, on the broader plane of existence in your particular country, you'd like to think that comics are taken legitimately as a serious cultural media.
And also people understand them in these things. People understand what they are. Look, not wishing to give my life as an example again, but I went to an art class. I started going to this art class, and the lady runs the art class. Her mum is along and sort of helps out, handing pencils out and stuff. And she said, what kind of comic, what kind of art do you like? And I said, I sort of like comic art, really. And she said, we don't really do cartoons here. I said, okay. And I thought, you don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
Yeah.
Just leave that there.
And that's because, and we love all comics here, and we love the Beano and the Dandy and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But when you say comics, some people just immediately think of that everything is the Bash Street Gang or Dennis the Menace and stuff. And
brought up again, like if you get like the MCM and you get the article and then the Mail, it's always about looking at half nude cosplayers and stuff. And I don't think in my time, my lifetime, I'm not sure we're ever going to move past that, or if we ever will.
We're never going to break out of that it is a stigma, I think. You go to Europe or Asia or whatever, and you see them, when you see the medium taken as seriously as it is, it's just so eye-opening. It's so like, and then you're overwhelmed by all of the stuff there.
It's weird because like I always find kind of UK culture wise they like to put things in boxes, so like this is the box, this is what you like. So the comics is in this kind of like
we're all frame. A cliche, aren't we?
It's a cliche, and you can't ever really escape it. It can't change what it is or become something which is not. It's frustrating. It gets framed as something, and then that's what it is from.
And even within our culture, you get people saying, "Well, I don't read superhero comics."
Yeah.
Or you get people saying, "Well, I don't read comics. I only read graphic novels." And I just sort of scream in their faces at that point.
It's all comics.
It's the
comics medium.
It's all comics.
It's all, when you look at it on paper, literally look at it on paper, they're all telling stories the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a broad, terms. But let's face it, you look at a bande dessinée book, you put it next to a manga page as well, and a Western comic, small press, big two, whatever. They're all telling stories via panels, speech bubbles, and hopefully some bloody good writing and creative teams and things like that. So, whatever you're reading, wherever it's from, if it's a good story, it doesn't fucking matter. Keep reading it.
Who doesn't like a good story?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about like the manga books, and this is certainly something that's been like this for a while with me, is they're so daunting. Do you know what I mean? Because you look at it and you think, oh, I've always been interested in this particular volume. And you look at it, and there's like 20 volumes of 200-page yeah. books. And you think, yeah. oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because I like to start at book one. Mm-hmm. But and you see where book 20 is.
I've just looked at that study, and it's America. So outselling comic books, DC and Marvel, in America. So it's not here.
Yeah,
and I think the manga culture here is different than America. I'm going to say, you know, or the manga.
I'd love to see some, what it's like in the UK, definitely.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, you just look at, you know, if you take cosplay as a sort of barometer of it, some of them are probably video game characters, but there's a lot of people walking around that I don't. I know the characters are from a manga comic that I don't...
Anime or manga.
Yeah, I don't have any idea what it is.
But they do a lot of the high concept stuff too. I can see on my shelf I've got like a Battle Royale. And that's...
Yeah.
You guys know, but like a class for the kids wake up on an island. And it's like the last person standing lives. And like you can sell that concept so easily. Yeah. I think it came from a book first, but...
Yeah, there's some great stuff going out. There's some amazing artists. I really like need to educate myself a bit more around it, you know.
Yeah.
So I think with digital, you can read it in a Western style, in a guided view, can't you?
Yeah,
and I think before the end of this year, we're going to do the long overdue focus.
We should all choose a book or get someone to choose, an expert, get someone to choose a book for us to read and come away.
Yeah, so someone to pick a book that we'd each like and then...
That's not a bad shout.
Yeah, I've got an idea for a guest too, so we'll talk about it off the air. Yeah, it's a callback to a previous show as well.
Excellent. We've gone quite quickly through them, so if you don't mind, guys, I'm going to ask you two other questions.
Yeah, go for it.
Sure.
Firstly, Dave Kennedy, who's literally just come on and written one. Have you ever taped a He-Man figure to a cat's back? I don't have a cat, so I haven't tried it yet. Cheers, Dave Kennedy.
No.
I have.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dog, cat, rabbits. I thought you were a lover of animals. You absolutely
I'm a lover
monster.
Of animals. Yeah. And one from John Lake. This is a more serious one. 2019 has been a very quiet year for me, personally due to work, family, usual bastard things life throws at you. What do you guys do to ensure the creative juices doth flow, despite being tired after real life has spat you out into an available tissue? Nicely put, John.
Love you, John. We all love you.
Yeah, he's a ledge.
That's an interesting one. But
yeah.
It can be hard work, you know.
Yeah.
Because we always say on this show, and most of the people listening, we're just doing this whenever we can.
Mm.
And the times when we can, and you obviously real life always comes, real life, family, you know, no matter what it is, comes first.
Yeah.
And sometimes these things are sent to test us. Also, on the flip side, though, when things are just pissing you off, me personally, I like to retreat into a fictional realm. So thinking about whatever project
Second
or story.
Life.
Yeah. thinking about whatever project, or you know, it can sometimes be, you know, if you shift those energies and focus it into this, whatever project you're working on can be quite advantageous, I think.
Yeah, I think I've had some lively years in my life, I like to say, and comics is always an escape. It's always the best place to go.
Yeah.
You know, it's as like I always refer to when I'm chatting to people, Marvel and DC are kind of like a family thing, aren't they? They're your mates. You know, it's somewhere to go and live and, you know, write some stuff and not write some stuff. And we're the small press guys. Nobody's paying us millions to do this, are they? We're doing it because we love it. And if you want to have a week off, nobody's going to care. But look at some of the creators who come and go, and then we see them again a couple of years later. It's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, sometimes you see some creators and you think, cool, you haven't done anything for a while. Yeah, it's because I was working on this 200-page graphic novel.
Yeah.
Which has won all the awards. You know, you're like, exactly. That's where you were.
Dave McKean's a good example of that. Dave McKean suddenly appears and you think, oh, bloody hell. I wonder where you've been. You know, stuff like that.
There's been days when it's like, it's fucking mental from the moment you get up to the moment you get back indoors. And you can't really do much but just think about what you're doing at the time. Mm. On those days, like, you just got to, for me at least, to say, right, it's just not going to be creative. I can't. Give the energy up to that, and anything you come out with is going to be dubious as to its worth.
Yeah.
But I find it honestly hard to switch off. It's always there for me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And I find that doing it early in the morning, I get into a rhythm if I do it early in the morning.
Yeah.
Because the weight of the day hasn't started on you yet. Yeah. You know, the responsibilities and the stresses and strains of the day hasn't caught up with you at that point.
Yeah.
But I've always found that the big motivating factor for it is that I do it for myself.
Yeah. I think that's got to be number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like to do it for yourself because you enjoy making comics and writing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
I think if that's not there, I'm not sure if you're going to have a lasting future in it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't mean
to
be down on that. But...
No, but I think also with that, there can be the double-edged sword of when you're doing it for yourself, and we all know you are your own harshest critic. So it's learning to, because if you're just doing it for yourself, you have to learn also sometimes to let go, or you know, it's not going to be perfect. No, nothing ever really, I'm sorry to break it to anyone, no graphic novel is perfect. Or comic is perfect. None of them are, and that's the beauty of it. The next one's you know, but sometimes you can get held up with the, this isn't good enough, I can't release this.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
and,
just keep
and that
keep
could be a cycle.
It,
that can be a cycle.
I always try and top what I've done before. And the project I'm working on now, I want it to be better than the one I've just finished. And that, as a motivator, really kind of drives me on. Thinking, oh, this time up, that wasn't so great in this one. I'm going to make sure that's fucking top notch in this next project.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was surprisingly serious, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I have nothing, you know, people that are continually putting out sketches, artwork, pages, comics, no matter who you are, or, you know, if you're continuing, I have nothing but love and respect for you. And it's sort of like one of the, you know.
It is also, be careful of that thing of seeing stuff online. Like, people post up work. You might see one guy post up a piece of work once a month, once a week, and someone else to do once a week, whatever. And the viewer is like this never-ending torrent of people creating. You think, fucking hell, like all these people are creating all the time.
It's
illusionary, because you're seeing like the totality of all this work coming in, and it may be that they've done that one drawing one week.
Yeah.
But because you're seeing it all the time from loads of people, you think there's more out there than there is. So don't sort of like get too kind of fucked off and, oh, I've got to work today, I've got to put this up, I've got to do that. It's, ain't worth it.
Yeah.
Ain't worth it.
Yeah. Did you say you had another one, Tony? You had another one?
No, I didn't, man, no.
Here's another one I got from the Penned Gwyn.
Good old
Penned Gwyn. What's your favourite piece of comic/small press merchandise?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, and this is very timely, and I'm not sure if he's done this on purpose. I'm going to presume not, although he is a canny businessman. I'm going to say T-shirts, because it's very day. The Penned Gwyn T-shirt arrived at my house.
Nice. Yeah. I've picked up a T-shirt or two in my time at shows, and they're some.
I love
of my
a
favorite
mug as well.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Love.
Do you know what? I'm gonna out myself now. I'm totally gonna out myself. I quite like an enamel badge.
They're the hotness now.
I do like badges. You know, I do. I'm not saying I buy them all the time, but if there's a nice design, I've got some great badges. You like with a Kickstarter reward, and all of a sudden you get like a cool badge with it that's got a cool design.
Yeah,
just looks awesome.
I really like original artwork. I know that's not really merchandise, but. The chance to get original artwork from creators and like frame it up.
Yeah.
The small prints creates everything.
Page of a comic that you've loved is a big one for me.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
What about prints? How do you feel about prints?
I only like Star Wars ones.
I mean,
I like the artist formerly known as.
I've not got as bad a thoughts on it as digital prints.
I really like if I see a nice print. Because I've actually like got some frames ready for prints. Do you know what I mean? I like to mix them up occasionally, so I'm always on the lookout for an A3 print that is gonna, as long as it's not gonna break the bank. Some prints are ridiculous prices, but
when we did that 2008 D show and they had that, what was that stall that they did all the prints on? I can't can't remember. Amazing.
Oh yeah,
was that Mondo
limited edition?
Mondo,
ones,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Chris Weston had that Nemesis one, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely.
There's that Dread one of like the whole like, yeah. City Street of Mega City One with Dread, and it was this red, white, and black.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like fucking hell. That is the nuts.
It's gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. Yeah,
they cost.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I do like having prints at my table. I do like having them. It's something I'm going to try and have more of. Not like of Marvel characters or something like that. Just something, something a bit different.
I've never had any luck with selling them.
No.
Yeah, we've had a few out. Even the one we did with everyone drew a character. We've still got a few of them left, haven't we?
Yeah, hard to fucking shift them. I mean, it seems like you just need something like. This is on its own. There's no prior knowledge of any of the characters. You don't need any of that. This looks cool, as it were.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah.
There is that Venn diagram of the people who like prints and who buy prints, and it's very small overlap.
Yeah.
Because whenever someone says, "Do you reckon I should get these prints done for Comic Con?" and I feel like posting that up. So...
I always say yes, and then I never buy them just to wind people up. It's just like throwing a little spanner in the works, isn't it?
Yeah. I fucking drop 50 quid on prints. It's like no one fucking buys them.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've got like loads of like art, boxes full of art and stuff here, and there's only so much you can get on your walls.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the same way, like, I'm going to fucking get flack from this, but like when I back a Kickstarter and I get two A4 prints, I don't know what to do with these.
Yeah, I've got like loads of those sleeve books, you know.
Yeah.
I just put them in there. I've got a load
That's
of them.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, mate, I'm just kind of in it for the comics, I think.
Yeah.
So,
but when I do a Kickstarter, I print this.
Yeah. If anyone wants to buy a picture of a cock, I've got one available as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Cockerel. Dirty minded people.
Oh God. Couple of quick shout outs to some other questions here. The previously mentioned John Ottaway. He said, is there a comic idea that you had but decided not to do? If so, why not? There are ideas.
Loads.
But... yeah, there's probably hundreds of either. I've got in notebooks I've thought about. Yeah.
But I'm not going to... I've got a couple that have been work in progress for a long time. I'm not going to say what they are, because you never know when you might dust off the notebook.
I've got a story about a bloke called On Jotaway.
oh, yeah. Oh, that's a really sordid one, isn't it?
It's really dirty. Really dirty.
Yeah. Was that the one that was going to be a pop-up book? Anyway,
I've my two ideas that I've got on the back burner but still don't cultivate. One's like a kind of space opera dogfighter kind of thing, and the other one was like a four-part. I think I shared the idea with this one initially with you guys, a four-part sort of like paranoia comic. But can't. It's just one of those things when I get fucking win the lottery and can make comics full time, I could do that. But
Tales of a Pog Sexy Podcast is one of mine that I've got ready. Yeah.
Carry on podcasting.
Yeah.
Or Confessions of a Podcaster.
Can we just stop that there? Jesus, the confessions we could have. And, all right, last one from at Noob Comic Guy. If you were stuck on a desert island, who would get eaten first?
Who's trapped? The three of us.
Out of the three of us, yeah.
Who would get eaten first?
I mean, the ACP yacht has crashed into a desert.
That'd
island.
Have to be who would be killed first, because you'd have to kill one of us to eat us, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, one of us died in the crash, and then...
Well, presumably you work all the way through the supermodels that came with us first.
Yeah, what? Strippers.
They've
all been eaten, and it's just the three of us left. Like,
let's face it, it wouldn't be the first time we've got to dispose of a hooker's body, is it? To be fair, you know.
I don't know, that's a tough one.
Thing is, you know, let's face it, I'm not free of, you know, there's a good chance I've got a number of social diseases swimming about in me. Yeah. You know.
Social diseases?
Well, you get them from being social, kind of.
Oh, my word. But what do you think, Dan? Is he trying to put us off? I'm tainted meat. Anyway, Tony, I know that we'd be safe from... do you know what? Tony...
Tony's a vegetarian.
It's got to be Tony, because he's a vegetarian, so he's never going to eat us. Sorry, Tony, we got to eat you, dude.
Did I tell you I know a bloke called 18 Months? Have I told you this story? I know a bloke called 18 Months, because somebody bit half his ear off.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Ear and half.
Where did the 18 Months come in?
Oh, my God.
Fucking hell, that's landed.
Jesus. That landed like a bag of shit through a letterbox, that did.
No.
It's true, though. I do know someone called that. It's actually the story. It's not just a joke. Although it is amazingly funny.
Yeah.
As was the end of that little Q&A session. Our Q&A, I love doing these little Q&A sessions. It's, yeah.
We could bite bits off each other, though. We'd survive. And, like, you know, you could have one of my hands and I'd have your foot or something.
Which hand?
I wouldn't want your right hand, would I? Let's face it.
So you want the stranger?
I'd keep it for a while without eating it. It might have its uses, you know.
What? Oh my god! Do you mean wiping your bum?
Picking my nose.
Ah,
I don't know.
Wiping your bum.
If I'm cooking, and eating a dead friend, I think the hands wouldn't bother me too much.
Yeah.
Those qualms have gone long ago.
I mean, let's face it, the basement section of the body is not going to be the great thing to eat, is it?
You'd have to have some sharp knives, because you know how hirsute I am.
Yeah. It'd be like cutting into a tin of corned beef.
Be like, both of you'd be going coughing like furballs up. Anyway, back to comic.
We could double up by making a rug out of it. Or blanket. Sleep under it or some
sleeping
shit.
Bag.
And yeah. It's a signal fire.
I'd always be with you that way, wouldn't I?
Yeah. It wouldn't be weird.
Yeah. Knowing us, we'd probably like cook and eat Tony and make a tenant out of his skin, and then the next day someone would turn up to rescue us.
As long as you didn't have sex with my dead body, I'd be fine.
I promise nothing.
I'd want to be eating it, so no. Probably wouldn't be.
And then I'm like, Dan, you didn't eat all of it, did you? Oh God!
This bit had a bit of special sauce.
Cream coffee.
Yeah. Lord.
Lord have mercy. Anyway, so hope you enjoyed that little
that little comic aside.
Yeah, that comic aside. But we're not. Of course, we'd never eat Tony.
Yeah,
because we know where he's been.
Yes.
Speaking of where we've been or where we're going, it's time for the shout-outs. Who's got any shout-outs this week, gents?
Quite a few.
I've got a number, yeah.
And I've got none, so I'm going to let them go for it. And then I'll just chip in whenever I've got anything useful to say.
Okay, as we speak, we've got about 4 or 5 days left on The Spark on Kickstarter.
Yes.
In another comic that me and Vince are involved in. I'm editing it and written a story with Vince, and we're about, I think we're sitting about 111% at the moment. So we could, the next stretch goal is you get a scout badge for Monster Spotters Club, which I think it sounds like an ace idea. And I think Sarah Harris, she thought of it, didn't she? I think.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, so that's a good idea. So keep going. We're almost there. Keep pledging if you haven't, and I see the name, so I know the people who haven't. Not that's a threat or anything.
Have I fucking pledged? I'm sure I have.
We have. Yeah. go for that one. The other one I wanted to say was Saturday the 28th of September is the Commando Swap Meet. And it's at the 79th Bushy and Oxy Scout Hut. So you'll know where that is, Vince. That's in Park Avenue in Bushy, near Watford, WD23 2BA. It's open between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Is there a place called Bushy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, down the road for me. If you're there, go up to Colin Noble and try and ask him about Star Blazer, because he goes into a panic and says he doesn't know anything, and it did make me chuckle.
Is it the tagline for that event is Go Commando?
Yes, it's Go Commando. Yeah. Great. Yeah, I did actually manage to ask the bloke who edited Commando for about 20 years whether he ever went Commando, and he just sort of stared at me.
Looked, he sneered and walked off.
Like he's never heard that. Yeah.
Made a face.
Yeah.
I've got one. The Leamington Spa Comic Con.
Yes.
Saturday, 5th of October, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's going to be in 12 days' time if you listen to this tomorrow at Parish Church, Leamington Spa. You can get your tickets on eventbrite.co.uk. Me and Vince are going to be there. Thorpey's going to be there. John Wagner's going to be there. There's going to be loads of people
Wagner,
there.
Hannah Berry's going to be there.
I got the Rock of the God, the first issue. Like, there's a teaser issue came out today. Dan, if you follow Dan Cornwall on Twitter or Facebook, he'll send you a link and you can PayPal him, and it comes as a signed copy. And I literally opened it just before we started recording because I haven't been home that long, and it is that's the next step up for him, man. It looks
brilliant,
absolutely gorgeous. The detail on some of these pages, yeah. And hopefully, I'll have. I think the Kickstarter's about to launch.
Awesome.
Talking about that, there, I expect.
Nice.
I've got to eat some humble pie.
Oh.
Because unfortunately, Black Crown has stopped trading, publishing.
Yeah, and, as they announced it. Was it yesterday, I think?
Yesterday, Shelley Bond announced it. I did tout them as being the next Vertigo. So,
well, I don't think you're wrong, man. I think the tonally they were.
Yeah.
You know? And Shelley was at Vertigo for many years. Wasn't
yeah,
she?
I feel they had the spirit. But yeah, it's really sad to see them go.
I did wonder when they were kickstarting their newest trade. I did. It did make me curious. This yeah. Hey Amateur thing, whatever it was. Mm. And I
but
thought
they hit the target, and
yeah, and yeah. I thought they're an imprint of IDW. The IDW can't be short of a few quid, you know.
No, I think they're going after a lot of licensed stuff, though, aren't they? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know how their fortunes are going, but there we go. Yeah, sorry, sad news.
Yeah.
There's a few great books there. So, but by Punk's Not Dead.
Yeah.
There's two collections of that, and they're both ace. And yeah. Dave Barnett and Martin Simmons did a top job on those books.
Yeah.
And they're there forever. There, you'll be able to buy them, and you know they're great. They're great. You know,
Network doesn't go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can I just give a shout out to Nottingham Comic Con?
Yes.
Yeah.
The 19th of October. And the byline is "It's all about comics," so we love it. I'll be there with No Brow. Vince will be there with Awesome Pod, probably hopefully opposite each other because I just bought a new Nerf gun. So yeah, so,
and I bought a new taser.
If you go to NottinghamComicCon.co.uk, you can get a ticket, or you can go to Forbidden Planet in Nottingham. They're selling them there as well. Support these guys. It's a charity. The charity this year is Little Heroes. I'm in the anthology. Vince, you're in the anthology as well, aren't you?
I am indeed, with something a bit different.
I've got a pin-up in the anthology.
Yeah, and you've got a cracking pin-up, man. We were talking about that before we come on. Yeah, yeah. Lovely stuff. I'm in it with Prolix again. Got the team back together. So that's good. So get to that one. It's always a great day there as well. We always have a good chuckle.
Yeah.
And it's busy, and it's a family event, and everything you want there. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
There you go.
At both of those conventions, they're both family events, great, great creators and exhibitors and stuff, and you will get one-on-one time with your favourite sort of creators.
Yeah, you will.
And stuff. So
And I got one more. If you're going to New York, which is Thursday the 3rd of October through to Sunday the 6th, 4 days of very busy hell, I'll be on the main floor at the Hilda and Nobrow table. We've got a little surprise. You might want to bring your selfie stick with you. Let's put it that way. There, so come along, and if you are an American listener and you're about, then please do come and say hello. Yeah, so I'd love to meet you. There you
nice.
Go.
I've got two more.
Okay.
The postcard challenge.
Oh yes.
We haven't spoken about this because it's got a due date at the end of October, so we've got a little while yet.
Yeah, I'm doing one for this.
So we're doing an awesome postcard art challenge.
Yep.
You're going to do a piece of artwork on a postcard A5, going to send it in to it's Richard Chiefs running it. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. And up until the 24th of October, and what we're going to do is a blind raffle. I think it's going to be a blind raffle.
I think you're right. Yeah.
For the art, and all the money's going to go to the Little Heroes charity, which goes to making comic kits for children who are sick in hospital. So that's such a great charity to do stuff for.
I'm taking it so seriously that I'm going to art classes in order in a couple of weeks to actually draw something.
To bring your game up.
There you go.
Nice. So I think there's a few, if you go onto the website, which is boysadventurecomics.blogspot.com, we'll put it in the show notes, but there's some examples up there already. I imagine as we get nearer the time, that's going to start filling up. And the more great art we get on there, the more we can raise for the little kiddies. So,
and that's a great blog any otherwise to go to. If you're into British comics, Rich put some really, really hard work into doing some really interesting articles on there of stuff you don't normally see. You know, he's doing some stuff on some Dave Gibbons, is it Power Comics, which was, off the top of my head, I think a Nigerian comic. made by, I think, Bolland was involved, and he's managed to sort of track down some of the pages for that, and there's some really interesting stuff on there. Yeah, nice. always worth a read. Yeah.
And the last shout is completely self-serving. Vanguard returns this Wednesday 25th, covered by Damian Edmondson, whose new comic Pre-Mortis is going to be spoken about shortly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this good issue's going to be fucking dynamite. Check it out when it lands.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of more awesome comics, it's time for the recommendation section. I think I might as well go first because as Dan mentioned just then, he just mentioned Pre-Mortis, which is actually going to be my first recommendation of this week.
I've read this today as well.
Yep. Sent through by Damien and Helena. And, great little book, this. Me and Tony both got one through the post, which is... thank you very much, guys, for sending this.
Yeah, very kind of you.
Far too kind. Came with two amazing prints. I think it's two. Both of which are horrifying. And they're probably going to give me nightmares. So, for those who don't know, and you've probably seen this about on the social medias and stuff, because Damien's artwork is certainly, you're just going to see more and more of it. On the latest issue of Vanguard, for one.
Yeah.
But, Pre-Mortis are tales of modern horrors. Two stories set in the here and now, when the trappings of the modern world we live in lead to discord and destruction. Suggested for mature readers, and it's from Art92, as they call themselves, the Art92 Collective.
And I think they're just calling themselves Helena and Damien, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't think they're even using last names, which is I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Had the pleasure to meet the fine folks at Lawless this year, face to face. Supremely lovely and wonderful people, and this is a supremely dark and disturbing book, which is amazing.
I can only imagine their household is a little bit dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, but in the right kind of way. Yeah. There's two stories here, two sequential stories, and there's an untitled poem by John Clifford in the middle. This book, clearly a labour of love, someone that just wants to make comics and put things out there. We got the first story is Punch the Puppy, which story and art by Helena.
No puppies were punched in this story, I'd like to add.
Yep. But there's a lot going on. I think Tony, because Tony's looked at this as well.
Yeah.
And he's read this today. We both read it. So we're both going to talk about it a little bit. I don't want to say too much about it anyway, because you kind of...
Yeah.
Going into these stories, and they're a surprise in themselves. It's all great.
They've both
horror.
Got sort of O. Henry moments, haven't they? Really? Yeah.
And there's Our Lies That Bind, which is story and art by Damien. As a Punch the Puppy is first. Do you want to go first with that one, Tony?
Yeah, I really like this. I like... there's a real subtext to this about... corporate shite is ruining the world. there's a really interesting sort of subtext. Well, not even a subtext, it's a theme, isn't there, of the complications of the suburban world, you know. And if you follow Damien or Helena on Twitter, they're often complaining about a certain road near their house, I think, where the roadworks have, which always makes me chuckle.
Yeah,
it's like almost like a daily occurrence. What's going on in Manchester City Council? You know, just like they just don't leave it, and it's almost like it's almost sort of vaguely performance art compared to this, because there's a lot of references to sort of street signs and stuff like that, and business, but it makes really interesting use of black, white, grey, and red. There's like a red tone. I can't tell you why it appears, because it's part of the narrative, isn't it, V?
Yeah.
But there's it's a really so it's just uses those three colours, and a couple of the panels, or more than that, I think sort of four or five of the panels are just done in red. And let's just say someone's like scratching away at themselves, and it's pretty fucking disturbing. Yeah. You know. I'm gonna say some of the lettering could do with a tweak. I think a horror story that is so based on the verbalization of things could do with maybe some hand lettering or something, I think.
Yeah, I see what you mean by that. Yeah.
I think the thickness of the line around the balloon on occasion is a little bit thick, but I love the claustrophobic nature of it. I don't know, there's something about me that it's almost a stage play to me. This is two people talking, you know, it's a sort of claustrophobic enclosed household. You know, you're getting the faces of the two people talking, who are, let's face it, in reality, are the creators, aren't they? That's Helena and Damien, aren't they? Who they tell their own story, sort of thing. They tell their own horror story, and there's a space for that. And I like there's an element of the experimental about it, which I kind of like. And they do great expressions. They've clearly sort of posed for each other, I think, making faces and doing stuff. And the expressions, the story plays out across very tight panels, you know, close-up tight views of people and their expressions and what's happening to them. And yeah, it's very cleverly done. It's not something I've seen, and it has that experimental edge, which I think horror often benefits from, that, you know, trying something different, you know. The great horror films and horror comics that we see, they've taken a left turn somewhere you haven't expected, and I think it does that.
Yeah,
and it does it at the end quite significantly, but I won't ruin that. But yeah, no, I really liked it. I really liked that first story. What's your thoughts on it, V?
Well, pretty much what you said. It's certainly it manages to capture something that I think horror comics sometimes struggle to do, and that is a real sense of unease and just creepiness. Does get creepier as the story goes on, especially with the scratching. The scratching for me was just, it became more visceral as the story went on, and, like, you know, certain panels got redder and redder. You could almost feel it. And I love that. You know, there was a real
and there's increasingly like bloodshot eyes.
Yeah,
red faces,
and the sense of mania as the story progresses is really good.
Yeah.
And then, like, to go on to the next story, like The Lies That Bind. It's a completely different sort of kettle of fish. Still presented in this modern world, but there's a real sense of almost, there's a very Britishness about it, a sense of Britishness, but also with a little touch of Texas Chainsaw Massacre / House of 1,000 Corpses mixed in. You know,
yeah, there is. Which is you get a shock on the first page turn, don't you?
And there's a few shocks on this one, as well as it's part one, and that, you know. I thought I had an inkling of what this story was going to be, and then it does a small flashback to 3 years earlier when it starts to talk about society as a whole and how things have broken down in the country and stuff, which sort of teased to a bigger narrative.
This is a continuing story, isn't it?
Yeah, which I found quite interesting. And it's basically this woman who has escaped her family, essentially. She's managed to get away from them, and then she's drawn back into the family fold, and there's a lot more going on, a lot more story and a lot more mystery that I want to know more about. I don't want to spoil too much. It's very visceral. I mean, there are character designs in this that are really creepy. Damien leaves us with a fantastic sort of splash page ending that would just be a sort of full stop for a lot of stories. So I'm interested. I hope there's a part two, because I want to know where this is going to go when we meet a character. There's an appearance of a character at the end, which is, you know, it's proper. It's good horror storytelling, I think.
Which bears some attention to.
Yeah.
There's things with that character, I won't say any more, that lead you to believe that there's something much different going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you have the main character, the main female character. I can just say she's not like the rest of her family. And where this goes, who knows how this ties into a bigger narrative. So it's quite interesting. I think, you know, it was almost, if you took out the bits about the society at large, it would have just worked as a one and done sort of short horror story that we've probably seen in a lot of different anthologies. But they're teasing something bigger, which I'm quite interested in seeing.
They've gone for something here as well. There's no cliche. There's no by rote. There's this. They've properly gone for it.
Yeah. And it twists. Yeah. The story twists a few times.
Yeah.
Which is great, and it's very visceral. Looking forward to seeing more. So Pre-Mortis. I know these guys have been excited about releasing their first comic.
Yeah.
So it's Art 9-2 Comics, recommended for mature readers. Of course, and I think that's definitely worth saying. But if you go to www.art92.com, you can follow them on Instagram, art92, and you can get hold of their comics. If you let's see, where's the Twitter handle?
I've got them here. So it's at art92 on Twitter as well. So all the letters, no numbers, and it's Damien is Damien Ed 666. Unsurprisingly,
yeah.
And Helena is Penciling the J.
Yeah.
Twitter at Penciling the J.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go and follow them because this is a great comic to come right out of the gate, and you're probably going to hear more from them in the future. So yeah, great stuff. So that's mine. Who wants to follow that?
D.
Shall I go for my one?
Yeah.
Go for it.
I read three issues of Ignited by Mark Waid.
The H1 project.
Yes, I'm not really in the loop with this. I thought there's like an event, isn't it? All these characters get these powers.
Yeah.
And I think they're related over the titles, but I didn't realize any of that before going to this.
Is Mark Waid the sole writer? Is this?
No, it's Kwanza Asoya Joyefo. He's right. Another writer within it, and he's got Phil Baroni's in art and Mike McCone on the cover.
Right, I like Mike's stuff.
Yeah, it's good. The art, I really like the art in this. I don't really have any kind of real issues with it. It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Essentially, the story is there's a school shooting, and the school's reopened. I think it's a year later or the next term. And the first day back, and you deal with all the students as they've come back, and they keep on getting these flashbacks to this horrific event that took place. And okay. it reveals that I think half a dozen of them, seven of them, have got like superpowers after the event. It's not explained in the comic why, and they sort of adopt like superhero style personas to sort of fight back against the bad guys. I'm going to say the word that Vince rolled his eyes at before we came on, and that's yeah. Woke. Yeah. The comic is woke as fuck, trying to be like right on, and it's kind of it's strange. I've heard because
from someone else, yeah.
I sort of reading it, and I think, okay, I can see what they're trying to do, but the characters act like when Mark Waid's other book, Kingdom Come, you yeah. know, like you get them like just fighting and injuring people, and then you're wondering what the hell. I started reading in the third issue. I'm not sure if I get the fourth, but essentially, there's threats that like this guns are going to come back to the school, and people sort of turn up on buses with guns to sort of protect people from other guns turning up.
Yeah.
And the sort of teens are there watching, saying, well, how do we know who's the alt-right or the far right? And he goes, what about those guys getting off the bus? And it's like, well, they're more like going to be like one of them lot. And then they get stuck in on these people, just yeah. like attacking them. And just like, they've got guns, but they're saying they're there to protect people from getting shot with other guns. They're supposed to be good guys. And they're piling on them, like wrecking these people with their superpowers. And sort of like the message is getting really lost here. Like
yeah.
you're, unless there's a kind of pullback and reveal that these kids are really misguided, but sort of these people turning up with guns to try and stop people from other guns hurting them. And then they're using these superpowers to absolutely fuck them up, saying, oh, you shouldn't be using these guns irresponsibly. It's like, well, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you yeah. don't know the motives of these people. And it comes across as really ham-fisted and not really understanding, I don't know, almost like what simplifying it and watering it down to sort of like make it like this is a really black and white issue.
I tried to read the first issue actually. Yeah. I was put off by something else, but that did irk me a little. It just seemed to be sixth form politics to me.
Yeah, really like
a
real kind of sixth form politics on a real world issue. And it's not just fucking black and white. If it really was, I'm sure it could be solved at a fucking click of a fingers, but it seems massively fucking...
I had the reason I didn't like it, dude, is I had a problem with the lettering. I found the lettering was just crammed in everywhere. And it was slightly... I don't know whether it's Kwanza or Mark Waid who've done this, but it seems to be slightly overwritten. Does it start with like a newsreader or something like that, I think?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that are just dubious about it, but gone.
Yeah, the lettering was just unreadable. I just found it too crammed and too small and too much, and it seemed to be just saying rather than showing, and you know.
I just kind of, especially like Mark Waid sort of like talking about like getting in the head of like these teenagers that go to secondary school or high school and like talking as though like he understands their point of view and stuff like... I saw some reviews for it that were sort of really kind of praising it. I don't understand this.
No, I don't. I just found it.
It seems...
one of those sort of polarizing things. But people who don't know where this has come from. So Humanoids announced that think it was San Diego last year at a convention that they were doing their creator-owned series.
Yeah,
I think it was New York actually last year, and they're releasing a series of American-sized comic books for the American and British market sort of thing. And this was, I think, the first one. There was, there was an issue of Free Comic Book Day, I think, that had a portion of this in it.
Okay.
And this is the new big thing. But looking at the sales figures, it's not setting a world light.
No, yeah. I think the
and you can barely find it. I couldn't find it in my comic shop.
I had to get mine digitally.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I got mine. Yeah.
I kind of interesting to see if anyone else has read it and their feedback on it. But like in the third issue, like it really seems to kind of just go off the rails, and there's very little provocation for what the hero characters are doing. It feels like in issue four, there's going to pull back and reveal, saying, "Aha, it's not that simple. What have you look what you've done?" But I'm not sure if it is or not.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I like to think that maybe that there's a point to that. You know, that they are sucking you in to sort of, you know.
Maybe I should give Mark Wade some more credit, and maybe I should drop the money and get the full fund to.
Yeah, money. That's what they want you to do. So that's what they're doing. They're selling comics, I suppose, by doing that, aren't they? You know.
Yeah. But I feel like if it wasn't, I feel like I'd just been fucked over for the money.
That's yeah.
But I've got another comic to talk about, which I'll talk about in a second, which is fucking great, and that's a small press one. But I'll let one of you guys go first.
Nice. Yeah. So shall I go with mine?
Yeah.
I'm going to read. I've reviewed. This is the second issue of this series, small press book. I'm going to read two reviews that are quoted on the back, and I want you to tell me which one is mine. So I get a pull quote on the back of this, right? First one: realizing very real societal fears and speaking directly to our sense of familial responsibility. Ends well, pulls the reader directly into the drama surrounding the Klan, ensuring the reader feels deeply invested in the specifics of their story. Right, that's the first one.
Yeah.
Second one. The bit with the granny fucker made me laugh so much. It's got a real twist to it.
I think it's the first one.
I think it's the first one.
Yeah, good. I knew you could tell which is my real, my pull quote there. So, yes, I'm reviewing Ends Well number 2, which is, as a smaller title, Dog Eat Dog. It's by Peter Morey, who, after enjoying his first issue, I met him at Hackney Zine Fair. A couple of weeks ago, and he's a top geezer. A dramatisation based loosely on real events. So Endswell is the name of the British farm, which is the centre of this sort of quirky, family-based soap opera, maybe. It's set in the late noughties, and the farm has been bought by the grandmother, who's the head of the sort of family. It continues on what the story was in issue one. With a sort of gentle, easygoing style. In fact, there's two styles in this book, which I'll talk about in a minute. There's no real rush to tell the story. He uses some single panels on some pages, and other panels he uses like cutaways of the house and who's who and what, you know, who's sitting where. And this one is especially good for me because I'm a dog person, and I've been watching that, The Dog House on Channel 4. Have you been watching that?
Nah.
Me and Elizabeth Queerstreet talked about that for about 4 hours the other day because it's just so nice. And it's this book's about the dogs in her life, and she takes in all these strays and these dogs, and some have to sit outside and some are allowed in the house. And it's just this sort of lovely story of this grandmother who buys a farm, and it's peaceful and gentle, and she describes the dogs. One's called Heidi, one's called Bertie. And she takes them for walks, and you get big double page spreads, and you get little panels of her throwing stones for the dogs and all that sort of thing. One of the dogs is killed by one of the other sort of crazier dogs, and she goes and gets another dog. But of course, this is all interrupted by the granny fucker who arrives from the previous issue. His name's Jim. And things change. And what they do is, it says, but things change when Jim arrived at the end of the summer of 2013. And what he does cleverly here, Peter does, is he changes the style. So you're looking from a sort of, well, it's a dog's eye view. You're looking up at Jim and the other people, and they're sort of making blah, blah, blah noises and hoo, ha, ha. And they're not, you know, the dogs can't really understand, but these cute sort of dogs are watching. And you get the dog's view of this sort of bully who appears and locks the dog in, you know, coal sheds and stuff like that for days on end. And I've not really seen that before. It's just nice. It's just like really well done. And it becomes slightly more sort of interpretive, maybe a little bit more abstracty towards the end. And you see everything from the point of view of these poor old dogs who are now being bullied by this horrible man. Hmm. And there's a dog called Joshy, who's kind of the favourite one. And he treats the art style, the angles he uses and the choices he makes in the two sort of separate halves of the book are just lovely. It's just like it's a nice, peaceful, gentle, nice read that only small press does so well, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's my choice. If you go to petermorey.com, Peter then morey.com, you can follow him on Instagram. Peter's on there and he puts work up. And I think off the top of my head, he's part of that work in progress group that hang about the on the South Bank once a month. I think that's right. A sort of little comics collective, which sounds like quite a fun thing. I'd like to go down to it at some point if I get a chance. But cool. Yeah, ends well, issue two. Dog eat dog. There you go, that's my one.
Nice. Okay, Dan, send us home.
Bring it home. Pareidolia. I said it right.
Perineum.
It's the tendency to interpret a vague stimulus as something known to the observer, such as seeing shapes in clouds, seeing faces in inanimate objects, or of shadow patterns, or hearing hidden messages in music. And this is a horror comic I saw on Twitter. One of the libraries only talked about this last week on the previous show. They were saying, I've got a comic. Here's the Gumroad link.
Okay.
Give me a few quid and you can have it. And I did.
Nice.
It's by Val Halverson. I have to give you their Twitter handle, but they've quite kindly put the whole comic up online to read for free at ArtStation, which we'll put that in the comic link. And it's a short horror comic about I can't really spoil it too much, but yeah, I think
it twists it. So much, yeah. Doesn't it?
Yeah. But it's essentially about a young woman who suffer through what you can tell. There's no speech throughout the comic. It's just her sort of the narrative told on top of how an event happens in her life and how she used to see faces and how that went away, and through this kind of traumatic event that's happened to her, this sort of ability sort of returns to her. Is that, have I done that justice there? It's a bit of a hard one without kind of...
It's almost an ability that you have when you're more sort of innocent and childlike.
Yeah.
That you lose when you become an adult. Is that right, I think?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, And she sort of says how when she was younger, she used to see faces and things and draw them. And that kind of goes away. And it returns.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much you can say.
This is almost two different comics to me. When you look at it to start with, it's a very nicely drawn, autobiographical, gently told, interestingly approached story. And then suddenly something else happens.
Yeah. Like a kind of a martial arts strike to your throat.
Yeah.
Last panel. So it's a good one. So we'll put that up in the show notes and you can download that and read it and see what you think.
Yeah. It's really, really good, actually.
Yeah. Really, it's a nice comic.
Yeah. As are all the comics we talked about this week. So, yeah, some great books to add to your wish list or to go out and get. You'll find them out on the show notes, and we hope you enjoyed the Q&A session. Like we said earlier, if you disagreed with us, shame on you. But if you did, then or maybe we described something wrong, or said that we didn't get any names wrong this week, did we?
Maybe.
Well, we haven't said our own names yet, so give it time.
But
if we got anything wrong with it, or if there's anything you want to talk about, or if there's any events that you want us to shout about, because we had a nice list of shout outs there. But certainly if you've got a one off, you know, if you've got an art exhibition, or if you've got any sort of thing, then let us know. Email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com, or give us a shout on the social media and stuff, and we'll put a shout out about it. You can follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod. Recently I've given the password back to these two, so we're going to be a bit more active on there now. So because I've been very lax on it, so apologies. But now we're going to kick back into gear again. If you do Facebook, then go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, where we post up the latest episode, and we also do a similar thing and start a conversation thread going on the Facebook group Awesome Comics Talk, which is full of listeners, past guests, friends of the show, etc. All kinds of people are part of that group, and it's a group for just talking about comics, this sequential medium that we love, all aspects, whether it be great conventions, great topics of conversation. This when we post up this episode, if you want to talk a bit more about it, just post on the thread when I post this episode up. Just get involved, because it's good conversation on there, and that's what we love. Thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. Leave us a review on iTunes if you listen to us there. Go on, that'd be nice. You can also subscribe and just help get the word out about the show, because the more people that listen to this show, the more people that find out more great indie books, hopefully. Find out, hopefully, maybe some different ways to make your own comics. And three, have to put up with our shit. That's what we're here for. But thank you for listening to us, whether it was on like other networks as well. For instance, maybe it was Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
We're on Pod Jean A Plu Ren A Futra.
I'm just going to leave him just to think about that.
What I've done. Think about what you've done.
Just think about what you've done.
I say that to Sharknado occasionally. Did you, after he's bitten me.
Yeah, and he just looks at you and like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cocks his leg, leaves.
Yeah. Which is how we finish every show.
Is he trying to hump that bull or bite it? What's he trying to do in the video?
No, that one, he to get it out of corners, he stands on it with his front legs. Yeah. And he walks it backwards like an elephant in the circus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although for anyone listening, this is Tony's dog.
Yeah. I bought him a big sort of Highland cow, a furry thing today. He did have sex with that, to be fair. Yeah.
I always remember this would be a good show closer. A guy I went to school with in primary school, his father was a police officer. And in the police officer's bull raffle, they won this like 5 foot tall, like panda bear, and it had like a policeman's hat on it. And they went out for the day and came back, and the dad said to the young daughter, don't come upstairs. And he took it out into the garden and burnt it. And basically their Alsatian had spent the whole day just basically shagging this.
Boning it.
Yeah. And it was just covered in dog spunk. So they had to
burn it in the garden. Is dog spunk flammable?
The panda was.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Wouldn't it be amazing if spunk was flammable? You'd think of all the tricks you could do.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get a guest next week, because this can't keep happening.
The Edinburgh Festival, I imagine that'd be quite amusing.
on the fringe.
Streets.
What have you been to see, mate? What have you seen at the fringe? I saw that spunky one. It's pretty good, actually. Yeah.
We'll probably blood end up death. On the Edinburgh Fringe one year. We'll be there 1 year. Probably.
Only one show a day.
I'm getting on a bit now.
Yeah, getting on a bit.
Where can people not that people are going to want to after that, but where can people find us online, etc. Tony?
So yes, EZOHYZ or neverironanything.blogspot.com.
Or Big Cartel.
Big Cartel. Yeah. Look at me with me brand.
You're like Scarface in my life. With a cartel, aren't you?
Yeah, I just face down in a big pile of coke from all the money I've made from this comic.
And speaking of sellouts, Dan, where can people find you?
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard issue 17 starting this Wednesday.
Yeah, boy.
Yes.
Get on board.
17.
Get on board. Because, there's some exciting things in the works, folks. Let's tell you that. Yeah. We love it. Yes, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmousefromars.com. And if you want to see sketches and doodles and who knows what, then you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo. Thank you very much for listening this week.
You've been super active on Instagram now. You're like Mr. Instagram.
That's good.
I know. Yeah. It's like if I'm doing artwork now, I just think I'll just post it.
It's nice to put it on there, isn't it? Because people just like it or say something nice.
You're going to have to let us know you're getting on with the iPad.
Oh, yeah. We talk about that next week, shall we?
Yeah. Yeah,
so that'd be a good one. You can talk us through how you started up on it and stuff. That man. Yeah, you'd now that you're a technical genius, right?
I was just hitting it, going how it work, that sort of thing.
You got your crayons out.
Put my mug of coffee on it. No, of course I didn't. But yeah, for all you lovely people out there, that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing to look forward to is this episode ending in a minute, because I know I'm looking forward to it.
I want it to go on.
Thank you. Yeah.
Let's start doing more 3-hour ones.
These shows could go on forever. But yeah.
Imagine the amount of shit we'd come out with if we did one of those 24-hour ones.
Oh my God. Imagine. Yeah.
We'd be in prison.
We'd have to do a charity one at some point.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And whatever money we raise will be the bail money that we'll need.
Let's do one and get guests on. Who's at the door?
12-hour. Love that.
You don't want to do a 24-hour one then?
Couldn't have it.
No. I like to be sleeping. I like to have, I like to have beddy boys. I can't do a whole crowd.
Making shifts, doing shifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did have to do a dance if we did that, V. You recanted on it already. We'd have to get you to do it on that one.
I don't know what you mean. Thank you for listening, everyone. join us next week for more comic talk, and from Dan, Tony and myself, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics, and what do they do?
Stay awesome.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah.
See ya.